It's Tuesday, January the 16th, 2016. I'm Robbie Ferguson. Here are the top stories that we're covering on the Category5.tv newsroom this week. AT&T has chosen Canonical's Ubuntu operating system to power its systems, and a new partnership between the two companies raises some interesting possibilities for the future of the Linux OS. Who's responsible if your company is compromised by credit card thieves, and then, after the malware is removed, they're compromised yet again? We'll take a look at how one Vegas casino is suing the company they hired to perform forensics after they were assured the attack was contained. A Twitter outage today comes at a pretty bad time for the company as their shares continue to fall, hitting an all-time low this morning. Microsoft will no longer allow users to update Windows versions less than Windows 10 on next-generation hardware. Yeah, you heard me right. We're not talking about old hardware. We're talking about if you buy new hardware, they are going to be cutting off support. Stick around. We'll tell you what's up. Also, Netflix is soon going to block proxy access to its content. These stories are coming up in the Category5.tv newsroom. Stick around. You've got mad skills. Now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative, and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda. I'm Robbie Ferguson, and here are the top stories that we're covering from the Category5.tv newsroom this week. AT&T is moving away from their proprietary systems and stepping toward Canonical Limited's open-source operating system, Ubuntu. Canonical announced the news in a blog post, saying it's joining forces with AT&T to provide its Ubuntu OS and engineering support for the carrier's cloud, network, and enterprise applications. Now, the companies disclosed that the partnership is significant in coming up with the Ubuntu-based apps across the internal and external systems at AT&T. John Zanos, Canonical's Vice President of Cloud Alliances and Business Development, believes that the collaboration with AT&T, quote, provides the opportunity to innovate with AT&T around the next generation of the software-centric network and cloud solutions. Zanos also said that teaming up with one of the leading carriers in the United States would enable the company to bring its expertise on Ubuntu, cloud, and open source to AT&T. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal reports that Canonical's new relationship with AT&T could, in fact, allow it to pursue its plan to build the Ubuntu-powered smartphone that could come packed with desktop-grade apps. The phone could also be connected to keyboards and large displays. A Las Vegas-based casino operator has sued security firm TrustWave for conducting an allegedly woefully inadequate forensics investigation that missed key details of a network breach and allowed credit card thieves to maintain their foothold during the course of the 2.5-month investigation. In a legal complaint filed in federal court in Las Vegas, Affinity Gaming said it hired TrustWave in October 2013 to investigate and contain a network breach that allowed attackers to obtain customers' credit card data. In mid-January 2014, TrustWave submitted a report required under payment card industry security rules on all merchants who accept credit cards. In the PCI forensics report, TrustWave said it had identified the source of the data breach and had contained the malware responsible for it. Whoops. More than a year later, after Affinity was hit by a second credit card breach, the casino operator allegedly learned from TrustWave competitor Mandiant that the malware had never been fully removed. TrustWave had said that the last breach activity occurred in October 2013. Mandiant's later PCI forensics report, by contrast, said that it happened again in December of that year while TrustWave was in fact investigating. The report also noted that the breach occurred on a continuous basis, both before and after TrustWave claimed that the data breach had been contained. TrustWave allegedly failed to detect several pieces of malware infecting network servers, or that the breach was ultimately the result of people who were able to access Affinity's virtual private network and install backdoor software. Here's a quote. Mandiant's report also concluded that the various recommendations TrustWave had presented to improve Affinity Gaming's data security were pointless, the complaint alleged. And the quote continues, none addressed the source of the data breach, and none would have prevented the attacker from, again, accessing Affinity Gaming's data systems. For instance, through the back doors that TrustWave failed to find and close. Frightening stuff. A little bit of insight into some of the forensics and the trouble that goes on behind the scenes when you hear about these data breaches and credit cards being stolen and things like that. You don't really realize, well, companies are putting it all on the line to say, yeah, we fixed it, and then to find out that actually they still have ways in, that'd be a little devastating, I think, for any company. Some Twitter users had to do without early today after sporadic outages knocked out the social media site in the US and Europe, as well as Canada, incidentally. I know I had trouble this morning. Reports of malfunctions began to appear in the US, but it was unclear how widespread the outages were this morning. By mid-morning, on the East Coast, desktop and mobile versions of Twitter appeared to be working, although the company wouldn't say if they were back to normal. A company spokeswoman also wouldn't reveal any details as to the possible cause of the outage, declining to comment beyond Twitter's tweeted statement. Twitter Inc., which has 320 million active users, tweeted that it is aware of the issue and is trying to fix it. Twitter's mobile app was partially functioning for some users, but its timeline update and new tweets were sporadic. Third-party services such as TweetDeck, Hootsuite, those services were also encountering errors. The outages come at a very bad time for Twitter and its executives as they're trying to convince Wall Street that they can deliver bigger revenue and profits. Meanwhile, the company's stock continues to languish at an all-time low. Twitter shares have lost 66% of their value since peaking at $52.87 in April. In morning trading today, Twitter shares fell another 35 cents to just $17.59. If you own a system with an Intel 6th generation processor, that's the Skylake processor, for example, and if you run Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, you're going to have to think about upgrading to Windows 10 or Linux. You've got 18 months to do so. Microsoft announced on Friday that after July 17th, 2017, my birthday, happy birthday from Microsoft, well, they're going to actually, well, they're saying on that date, only the most critical security fixes will be released for those platforms, Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and those fixes will only be made available if they don't risk the reliability or compatibility of Windows 7 or 8.1 on other non-Skylake systems. The full range of compatibility and security fixes will be published for non-Skylake machines for Windows 7 until January 14th, 2020, and for Windows 8.1 until January 10th, 2023. As far as Microsoft is concerned, next-generation processors will only be supported by Windows 10. Going forward, the company said that using the latest generation processors will always require the latest generation operating system. And so, along that vein, allow me to introduce you to Linux. There's the bias. Subscribers of the video streaming service provider Netflix will no longer be able to use proxies to watch content not available in their home country. Subscribers often resort to these proxies or servers that facilitate access to internet content not normally available locally to watch Netflix's popular shows. The company said that it would clamp down on these proxies or unblockers in a few weeks. It's not all bad news, though. Netflix's vice president of content delivery architecture wrote in a blog that their goal is, in fact, to provide the content in more countries, rather than users needing to utilize third-party proxies. The announcement comes just a week after Netflix went live in more than 130 countries, covering almost the entire globe, except China. Netflix said that not all of its shows would be available immediately to subscribers in certain countries, but that it was working toward resolving that. However, there's no word yet about their intent to bring non-Netflix programming, such as blockbuster movies, to other countries. A Netflix spokesman told Reuters, "Ultimately, this is a quote, the aim is to provide a service around the world that is more similar than not. using VPNs or proxies to virtually cross borders violates Netflix's terms of use because of licensing restrictions on TV shows and movies. Comes down to copyrights, doesn't it? India, Nigeria, Russia, and Saudi Arabia were among the 130 countries where the service was launched last week. Big thanks this week to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers. Hey, if you've got a story you'd like to submit to the Category5.tv newsroom, if you want to hear your name on the air, please email us newsroom@Category5.tv. For the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Robbie Ferguson.